The Revive Our Hearts staff sometimes interact with singles, and we recommend a book called Did I Kiss Marriage Goodbye? And when we mention the book title, a scared look sometimes comes over the face of the person we're speaking to. The book's author, Carolyn McCulley, has seen that same look.
Now, that came out 6 years ago, and I have been making fun of that title for 6 years because it's entirely my fault. My pastor at the time was Joshua Harris, and he had... Right, now you know the inspiration. So his best-selling book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye, and since my book was for single women exploring biblical femininity, he's the one that suggested the title to me, and I was like, oh, great! And my publisher said, no, that's not going to work out. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, it'll be really good. My publisher was right, because afterward, I got all these emails from people going, like, I was in the bookstore, but I didn't want to buy your book. I made my friend buy it. We're standing in the corner going, no, you buy it. No, you buy it. No, you buy it. I ended up with a really good friend in Manhattan because she wrote me to tell me once that she was reading my book on the subway, but with a different cover. So I understand.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Wednesday, January 26th.
At the three True Woman conferences last year, a variety of breakout sessions were available, many of them addressing specific seasons of life. My longtime friend Carolyn McCulley addressed single women at one of those breakout sessions. And we're going to hear that message the rest of this week. Now, let me encourage you, if you're married, please don't tune out. Over the next few days, Carolyn is going to challenge us to have the kind of true love that the Apostle Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 13. And she'll encourage you to rest in the peace of God, regardless of what situation you may be facing. And let me just say that if you have friends or young adult children that are single, you'll find some really practical insights here that will help you be an encouragement to them. Today, Carolyn focuses on some practical issues for singleness. She'll show us the importance of relating to single men in the church as brothers in Christ and not just as potential mates. And now let's listen to this message that Carolyn McCulley shared at the True Woman Conference.
But since I published that book, which is really looking at the idea of femininity being applicable to every season and not necessarily defined by the contours of your relationships with others, that you are fully feminine and made in the image of God, no matter whether you have boyfriend, courting object, and fiance, husband, whatever you want to call it, next to your side, that oftentimes femininity is defined in our relationships to others, your wife, your mother, etc. But that's not the starting point. The starting point is being made female in his image and for his purposes. And I found that the roadmap of the Proverbs 31 woman was actually applicable to a single woman, and that's what that book is about. But after I wrote it, I kind of had this assumption that I would write the book and then be done with singleness. You know, I was like, wrote the book, I don't have to talk about it anymore, and somehow or another, here comes Prince Charming, and I'll be out of here. All right, so 6 years later, I'm still yapping about this topic, and no Prince Charming has come up, and some of you all are looking at me like, oh no, she's the ghost of Christmas future. Dear God, please, no, not that. And that's okay, because I did the same thing when I was your age, so just payback. But I wanted to let you know that the grace of God is there for you in the future, no matter what God ordains for you. So you don't have to be concerned that you're in this message today if you're younger going, oh no, that's my future. I'm like jinxed if I'm in here. No, you don't have to be superstitious, nor do you have to be tempted by fear. Because I can tell you, when I was younger, I would not have known that there would be grace to walk in God's providence for my life the way that I've experienced it. And God is kind in not letting us know what our future is going to be like, because what we have is grace for today. Jesus says, sufficient is today's trouble. We don't need to start borrowing trouble from the future and worrying about it, because when we get there, we will experience grace. Now, even people who don't know the Lord are able to say, you know, such and such was such a difficult situation for me, whether it was cancer or becoming widowed or whatever, but I learned so much about myself, I wouldn't go back. Okay, so you can even hear people who don't know the Lord understand the principle of growth that comes through situations you might not have wanted. And I can tell you that when you receive something that perhaps you didn't want from the Lord, there is grace to walk through it, and there's also multiple and abundant blessings that come with it that you would not have realized because you're only focused on one thing. So one of the things that I learned after I published the book, because I had this assumption that I would be done talking about singleness, is that I learned a lot about my brothers. What I learned was that men take relationships a lot more seriously than we think they do. And I developed this thing called a client ministry, and I always use the little air quote marks, client ministry, because men I worked with and men I was friends with in the church who were, you know, a little bit younger than I was, would come up to me and want to talk to me like a big sister. Because they would want to come and talk to me about the issues that they were facing pursuing other women. Now, when I was younger and my peer groups, my friendships were with other men who were closer to my age, I wasn't aware as much of the struggles they went through because I was their peer group. But as I got older, and there was this, you know, 10 to 15 year difference in our ages, I was able to hear with clarity what was going on in these men's hearts, because there wasn't going to be any confusion, at least on their part, about whether or not there was going to be any interest. But I realized that the interactions that we have and the words that we use with men impact them far more than we would be aware of. And so in this session, He Loves Me, He Loves Me Not, what I want to talk about is how to conduct godly, Christ-like relationships in the mess that's known as dating or courting or whatever term and approach that you use, that those relationships that develop and come about in the swirl of trying to determine who is your spouse. And for those of you all who have been married once before, there's another level to this too, which is, how do I have hope and faith for the future when I've been widowed or my husband has abandoned me? All the heart issues are the same. Now, interestingly enough, it's not just Christians who are trying to address this problem. A few years ago, two books came out addressing the relationships between single men and women, and each caused a stir in their own circles. The first was a mainstream book called He's Just Not That Into You. And it was by one of the writers of the program Sex in the City. Now, I find this really ironic. From a secular perspective, Sex in the City, not a show that I recommend, but Sex in the City was promoting the ongoing confusion in our culture of what it means to date and relate. And here was the one male married writer on the writer team who was working with these other women who were single, who were just like their characters on their television show, coming in every day, discussing their love lives, and completely oblivious to the ramifications of these relationships. And he's having to sit down and go, look, if he doesn't call you, he's not interested. Stop making excuses. If he treats you like dirt, he's not interested. Stop making excuses. And I was fascinated that there had to be a book that came out to explain basic human courtesy to one another and not making excuses for mistreatment. And his message was, if a man is interested, even if he has a very busy schedule, a demanding job, a sick parent, or whatever, if he's interested, he's going to find a way to pursue you. And thus the title, He's Just Not That Into You. Now, what I found interesting in this book is I perused it, trying to understand what was going on in the culture. And I don't wholeheartedly endorse that book either. There's a couple of chapters that are not edifying. But anyway, he said that he acknowledged that though the women's movement had introduced many changes in culture, in one area women were not recognizing something important. Men had not changed. They would still work for what they value. So there's another book that came out that's trying to help us to understand what is going on in our culture through a biblical perspective, and it's called Doing Things Right in Matters of the Heart by John Ensor. Now, I do recommend that book to you, Doing Things Right in the Matters of the Heart. And it's a basic book kind of explaining biblical manhood and womanhood to young adults and single adults. And in it, John Ensor uses the usual analogy of men being hunters. But he talked about how sometimes the men need a little help with finding their quarry. And women sometimes need to rustle the leaves in order to let the men know they're nearby. Well, we all jumped on that. We're like, oh, okay, we have permission to rustle leaves, but what does that look like? And sometimes we would observe our friends in church who were being really obvious, and we'd be like, oh, honey, she ain't just rustling leaves. She's leveling the whole forest. Like, hi, I'm here. Notice me. And we all know those ways of trying to be godly single women and drawing attention to ourselves. It's like, oh, I have such a burden for you. I've been praying for you. God put you on my heart. I have a verse for you. It's like, yeah, you haven't been thinking anything else. So we do have our ways of manipulating. And here, John Ensor gives us permission to rustle the leaves, and everybody's like, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does it mean? I don't know. And I actually had the opportunity. He came and spoke to my previous church, and I was trying to get a question submitted, like, would you please get him to answer the question about rustling leaves? But he wisely sidestepped that one. And I think the reason for that is that every woman's struggle with drawing attention or fearing rejection will define what your leaf rustling looks like. And you can't hand out a one-size-fits-all situation. There are women who fear rejection to such a degree that they shut down around anybody that they're interested in so that they don't have to fear not having what they hope for. Then there are other women who are really obvious, totally out there, need some help with some restraint, give the brother an opportunity to pursue, don't be in his face 24/7. So if you were to give any definition to leaf rustling, no matter which way you come at it, there are going to be some people who take it as a license and others that'll create it as a rule, and that leaves us not following God. And that's the premise that we need to understand, is that there's no one-size-fits-all way to tackle our relationships. Relationships are inherently messy. We all wish that we wouldn't have mess, but we will experience it in our dating, relating, and marriage relationships, in our friendships, in our brothers and sisters relationships, in the church, with our children, with everybody else, because it's two sinners trying to achieve something, and that means we're driven by desires that are going to cause collisions. And either those collisions are going to give us an opportunity to humble ourselves and ask God for forgiveness where we've sinned, or humble ourselves and make more of someone else and less of ourselves, instead of trying to be the one that he who dies with the most toys wins kind of a situation. Well, going back to my client ministry, after years of listening to some very godly and attractive men talk about the confusion that they had with their relationships with women, and knowing that there were about 20 women standing outside my office door going like this, who were all really interested in them, and I would just stand there going, I don't understand why this is so difficult. In fact, I had a friend, he's currently back in Australia, so I hope he'll never hear me tell the story, but he showed up. He came from Australia to come join our church, and he came in the dead of winter. So it was their summer. So he's tanned and tall, and he's got his two surfboards, and he was a former model, and he had a great Australian accent. And I was like, oh, no, we're going to have to do some triage in this church. And girls are like, oh, hi. Even the 11-year-olds are riding bikes by the house. Hi, Mr. Mike. You know, it's like, oh, no, damage control. But he was a great guy, really godly. And I just assumed everything would be easy, right? I mean, here's a guy for whom women are like swooning when he walks through the church. So why should this be so hard? And he came to me one day saying, I'm really interested in this girl. And I said, yeah, I know. I can tell. And he's like, so what do I do? And I said, well, I and everyone else observing you can tell, so have you talked to her dad, who's a pastor? And he's like, oh, no, I don't have to talk to her dad, do I? I'm like, yeah, you do. You really do. You need to, you know, she's young, you need to talk, you need to say what your intentions are. And he's like, no. And I'm like, no, you have to. So I encouraged him. I said, you don't have anything to really lose. But in this conversation and other conversations with men, I came to realize an important thing. Men trust God by risking rejection. I already knew that women trust God by waiting on him. That was the whole premise of my first book. It's been the premise of my entire life. But my client ministry helped me to understand that there was this other element that men face. No matter how attractive, big man on campus-like that they seemed, that each man feared rejection and had to learn to trust God by stepping out. And in this case, when he stepped out, the father said, "You know what? We're dealing with some issues of immaturity in my daughter, and so right now we don't think this would be the best time. Not that we're opposed to you. This is about her, not you." And it hurt so much, he came back and he's like, "No." And at the time, that just seemed, it was so horrible all the way around. But that's because he wasn't supposed to marry her. God had another husband for her and another wife for him. Now, when he did meet the woman he eventually married, they were at a conference, and they were in a small group setting, and she blurted out, "You know, I've always had a burden for Australia." And every other woman there is like, "Yeah, right. You got that one like 30 seconds ago when he came in the room, you know." Turns out she actually did and had for years, and the rest of us were cynical. And and then in the midst of, you know, great difficulty for him, one time she wrote him an email. They hadn't been in contact. She said, "God put you on my heart," and sent him a little quote from Spurgeon. And I was like, "Spurgeon, you know, I was like, you're trying to be impressive, you know." Turns out ministered to him, and there wasn't anything manipulative about what she was doing. And they ended up becoming friends and getting married, and now they're ministering together in Australia. So here's the issue. She was trying to be a good sister and encourage him. And even though he had his eyes elsewhere at one point, and he stepped out to trust God, I began to realize that part of the navigation, the messiness of this navigation of he loves me not kind of a thing, is because neither of us involved, or three parties when there's more than one person interested, or 15 parties when there's whole masses of women interested in one guy. The point being, in all this mess that can happen in our relationships, God is still accomplishing his perfect purpose for each of our lives. And something else more important than that, it's not just who gets a spouse and who doesn't, who gets a boyfriend and who doesn't. It's who's becoming, through this situation, more Christ-like. Now, when we're single, we often get told, make sure to guard your heart, right? Has everybody heard that phrase? Everybody received that at some point, right? Guard your heart. And you never know what that means. Does it mean, like, no way do you have a shot for this guy? Or what does that mean, right? But even our culture has a concept of what this means, and we can trace it all back to even places and novelists and times like Jane Austen. Do we have any other Jane Knight fans in here? All right, a few, great. If you've read the book or seen the movie Sense and Sensibility, you have a really good illustration of what it means not to guard your heart. If you remember, the younger sister, Marianne, had a crush on this charmingly devastating man named Willoughby. And Willoughby comes rushing in, making all these grand romantic gestures and sweeping everybody off their feet, including the rest of the family. But he never really says what he wants or what he's up to. He doesn't declare himself. And he exposes Marianne for being a senseless and rash young woman because he doesn't guard her reputation in this small village. He exposes her to ridicule instead, for not helping her to maintain her boundaries and to maintain her modesty. And then in the end, it turns out he wasn't intentional. Spoiler alert, he wasn't intentional at all about their relationship. And in the wreckage of this, as she's sorting through this with her older sister, it was Marianne's the younger one. What was the name of the older one?
Eleanor.
Thank you, Eleanor. I didn't write it in my notes because I assumed I would never forget. That's what happens to you over 40. But anyway, so Eleanor's with her. And Eleanor asks her this one question. She says, "Did you have an understanding with Willoughby?" And this is the quaint phrase for, "Did he actually tell you with his lips what he was doing?" And Marianne realizes with a start that she had no such promise or no such declaration from him. Her reply was, "It was every day implied, but never professedly declared." In fact, Marianne had been pursuing Willoughby based on her own assumptions. She wanted something. His behavior fit within her grid, but she had no concrete information. And that's what happens to most of us. In fact, a friend of mine, she gave this the term dating in your mind because you want something and you start to figure out like, oh yeah, he must be really interested in me because he actually looked my direction in this meeting. You know what I mean? Yes. So like you start to form claims even though he's never spoken to you or anything like that, you know. So she called it dating in your mind, and the Marianne's example is a little bit more concrete than that. She had a man paying attention to her, but again, the same premise. He hadn't declared himself, and going even back to he's just not that into you, even a modern-day man without a gospel, seemingly gospel perspective, is able to tell you when a man really wants something, he doesn't toy around. He tells you. Even when he fears it, like my Australian friend, he will step up and talk.
Well, Carolyn delivered this message as a breakout session at the True Woman Conference this past year in Fort Worth. You can get the entire message on CD by visiting us at reviveourhearts.com. We received a note from a single woman who wrote to express appreciation for the way God has been using Revive Our Hearts in her life. She was impacted by our discussion on boundaries. From time to time, we talk about boundaries that married women and single women can put in place to protect themselves and the men around them and others' marriages. These boundaries can help us as women guard our hearts against inappropriate emotional attachments. This particular listener, who is a single woman in church ministry, wrote and said, "I've been so encouraged to hear the boundaries you recommend because they confirm what I've been trying to do in my own relationship with my pastor. I try to avoid even the appearance of evil." Then she went on to detail some of the boundaries she decided to put in place based on what she had heard on our program. She followed up by saying, "I so appreciate the example you set. There isn't much else out there for the older, single Christian woman." Well, we pray that God will continue to use Revive Our Hearts to encourage women to make courageous, wise, biblical choices, no matter what season of life they find themselves in. A special group of people support this ministry while we aim to do that. Our ministry partner team helps to make it possible for you to hear Revive Our Hearts each day. This ministry partner team is committed to praying for the ministry, sharing the ministry with others, and supporting us financially with a monthly gift of $30 or more. So if you're a regular listener and you've been impacted by the message and ministry of Revive Our Hearts, would you consider committing to those three things: intercede, interact, and invest? When you become a ministry partner, you'll have the satisfaction and joy of knowing that your support is making an eternal difference in the lives of women like the one I just shared with you, who is making wise choices in relation to boundaries. As a ministry partner, you'll receive regular communication from Revive Our Hearts, including a monthly edition of our devotional, Daily Reflections, that is sent exclusively to our ministry partner team. And when you sign up, as our way of saying thank you, we'll send you a complimentary copy of one of my books. For more details on how to become a ministry partner, visit us at reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959.
Thanks, Nancy. I'll also mention that the books you heard about today during the message from Carolyn McCulley are available at our website. Those books are Did I Kiss Marriage Goodbye from Carolyn, and also Doing Things Right in the Matters of the Heart by John Ensor. We recommend these to single women and hope you'll get more info at reviveourhearts.com. You can interact with Carolyn McCulley today. She'll be part of our listener blog at reviveourhearts.com. Click on today's program and scroll to the end of the transcript. There, you can read comments from Carolyn and other listeners. You can also add your own comments and questions for Carolyn. Well, Carolyn will pick back up tomorrow. I hope you'll join us for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.